I work with Sped Homeschool. We are a 501c company that was started by Peggy Ployer, and she has a heart for special needs children. She raised her own special needs children. Every one of us that are a part of Sped Homeschool are homeschooling our special needs children. So we're right there with you. So it's not like I'm telling you to do something that I've never had to do before. And so we have a great Facebook support group, so you're welcome to join that. We have a website, and I'm going to show you some of those, pull up some links. And there are curriculum choices on there. There's all kinds of things. So if you need help and you're wanting some more support, that's what we do. We're not a physical group. We're through the homeschool. We're online, but we also have a booth at 9:10. So myself and Cammie has older kids. I have younger kids. So, you know, if you have older kids, you probably want to talk with her because she's been through that, and where I have the younger kids. So but we'd love to talk with you if you want to come by the booth at any time. We're at 9:10. So, and there's also a Connect group this afternoon at 2:15 in Cochran's Ridge. I think it's one of these rooms right over here. And so you can come, ask more questions. It's more laid back. It's to, like, get to know each other. Maybe you'll find someone that's in the same area you are, or the same walk, or the same journey you are. Maybe you can make a connection and have some support after we leave the conference. So just a couple things to let you know about. So we'd love to see you there too. This was one of the things. I'm a recovering public school teacher. I was never going to homeschool my children. I thought they were weird, and they were going to do organic food, and they were going to do essential oils, and blah, 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 and here I am. And that's okay, because I taught public school, and then I had my twins. And when I had my twins, I was welcomed into the world of special needs, and it changed my heart, and it changed my life. And this is why I do what I do now, because I taught special education in the public school, and I know what I loved about it, and I know what I didn't love about it. And I love the freedom that we have as homeschool parents to teach our children. So this is one of the things I write for our blogs. And, as a new homeschool mom, you know, in public school, I was just handed the curriculum, and, like, this is what you do. And I was like, okay, this is what I do. Well, when you become this homeschool mom, you're like, wow, or dad, or, you know, because there's a lot of dads at homeschool, I have the freedom, which is good and scary all in the same thing, because you go down that exhibition hall down there, and there's, like, tens of millions of things that you can do, and you're like, what do I pick? I don't want to waste my money. I don't mind spending money, but I want to make sure what it's going to do is going to work. So, first, I want to give you permission that if you find something and you pay for it and it doesn't work, just change. Change is good. You know, I always felt bad. I was like, oh, I bought this curriculum and I spent this money. But if my kid is hitting his head against the wall, what good is it doing? It's not doing me a bit of good. It's not doing him a bit of good. So I just want to say that up front. Give yourself permission. Because you know what? Our kids change. You know, they're little. They learn. They may like something, and then they get hormonal, and things change again. So, you know, we have to give and take. I got the best advice from another homeschool mom. She said, be an octopus. And I said, what? She said, be flexible. Be able to go wherever your child needs. Be able to bend and curve as they need. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is not just about me. It's about them. So those are all my first words of advice on that. I will tell you that there are some curriculums that I have found to be easier to adapt than others. I, for my family, have chosen My Father's World. I found that I believe in, like, doing, like, a group work with my kids so that we're all on the same page for history and Bible and science. It just makes it easier for all doing the same thing, and then I just adapt it to each of my kids' needs. If you go to our website, spedhomeschool.com, we have curriculum picks on there, which they're going to be updated in August. There's actually a live poll on there. If you want to go to our website, you can and put your recommendations or what you have found that works good. And I like that because it's not just what we think. We want to know what your, how your family is and what your family, what works best for your family. So that's something that you can do that's live now, and they're going to be calculating all the polls, and in August there's going to be a new list. So just be looking out for that. But it has a whole list, and it has it broken down by writing, reading, and all those things, and then all in ones. So if you're here at the conference and you want to know, okay, what should I look at, you could actually go to our website before you go down there. First, we, you know, talking about accommodating and modifying, they are two different things. So I wanted to kind of break down what they were to begin with. From a special ed background, this was written in all their individual education plans, so I got used to what accommodating and modifying is, but I just want to kind of talk a little bit about that. So accommodations is like a way that you're going to let your child take the same information in, but you're going to let them present it or do it in a different way. Like they have dysgraphia, you may have them type it instead of writing it. But they're still learning the same thing. All you're doing is just changing the way that they get to present it. So it doesn't change their grade level. It doesn't change their material. It just draws on their strengths. Yes, ma'am. It doesn't break it down by that, but that is a great suggestion that I can take back, and we could even maybe further break down our suggestions like that. That's a great suggestion. So something to take back. Thank you. So modification. So accommodations is what I do with my daughter who has dyslexia. She just needs a little bit more. She needs me to do things in a little different way, but she can do the fourth grade work. It just needs to be changed a little bit. Now, my other daughter, who is labeled IDD, intellectually disabled, she needs the modifications. She needs for me to not expect as much out of her, but I present the same material to her, but I change it in a way where she's able to receive it and complete the task. And I'm going to show you some examples here in just a little bit. And, you know, one of the things is don't worry about if you're accommodating, you're modifying, you're like, oh, they're never going to be on grade level, which we all know there's no grade level, there's no timeline, there's no perfect way that your child's going to learn. But I'm going to show you at the end how using these can make a difference. So modifications, that's for your child that's maybe a year behind, 2 years behind, and you're going to maybe, if you're going to do a group work, you're going to help. You're going to not expect the same thing out of your sixth graders you would your one that has, even though they may both be sixth graders, one may just need a little bit more help, okay? Again, drawing on their strengths. Figure out how they learn best, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So we're big baseball fans in our family. We're Astros all the way. And so just to kind of make it easy in your mind to remember what the difference. Accommodations change the position you play in the same team. You're not going off the Astros. You're staying on the same team. Maybe you're playing over here. You're staying on the same level. You're just changing things up a little bit. And you're doing your modifications. You're going for the other team. Sorry, we don't like the Rangers. But it's changing the team that you play for. So you're totally changing things up. So I hope that's kind of a visual to help you remember what they are and what's the difference between the two. So accommodations. Here's your kids that are would be like your dyslexics, your maybe your ADD, ADHD, who just need a little help. So when you're doing your lessons, if you're doing one-on-one with them or you're doing a group work, these are some of the things that you might do to help your child. Give them more time. And that's not just time like as far as completing an activity. It might also be extra time to think about the answer. You know, sometimes kids might come back to us an hour later and go, oh yeah, I remember when you asked me that question, I remember now. And so our kids might need more processing time, more visual time, more time to like, you know, they may be the ones that when you're doing your read alouds, they're drawing so that they understand and they're drawing their picture to go along with what you're reading. You know, I used to think that kids in my public school classroom were just doodling because they didn't want to listen to me. And then I realized through my daughter, who is very dyslexic and very visually oriented, that's how she gets it. And so she'll draw her picture, and then after she's done, she's like, "But you weren't listening to me." And I'd stop, and I'd say, "What did I talk?" And she knew word for word what I said, and I'm like, "Okay, draw away." You know, so kind of changing our mindsets that it's okay. And then my other daughter, who doesn't really draw as much, she might need a color sheet to go along with what we're doing. So we're all doing the same thing. We're just doing it the way that we need to do it. You know, just like you and your spouse probably don't do things the same way. But we all need those ways that we can do things to be successful. Response time goes underneath that. Presentation, maybe they're very artistic and they want to do, maybe you're asking for a book report, but they want to do a diorama. If they can do the same expectations of what you're asking for in a diorama or a poster or whatever, there's no difference in that. That's just an accommodation. Providing multiple choice. I'm going to give you some resources at the end. There's some free and cheap resources where you can actually make multiple choice tests yourself, and I do that in my homeschool. Allowing to type work, especially for kids with dysgraphia, it gets very cumbersome to have to sit and write everything. They want to be able to, and you're getting the same information. Your hands-on activities, manipulatives, of course, those go better with science and math. But we're trying a new thing with my daughter. She's not reading yet, so we're trying matching a tile with each letter and moving the colored tiles to show that each letter has its own sound. I mean, I'm willing to do anything and everything to help my daughter learn. That's why y'all are in here. You know, that's why you homeschool. So you're doing the same thing. You're trying to come up with ways. It stretches our brains. We're going to be learners, lifelong learners, teaching our children with special needs. I am a fool because, like, I don't know if you're like this, but in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh, how am I going to teach this? Okay, I'm Googling in the middle of the night when I should be sleeping because I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to teach that lesson tomorrow. Answer questions orally. You know, if you're reading a book with them and they just can't write it down, if they can answer you orally, you can give them credit on that. There's nothing wrong with that. Use a video. I do a lot of YouTubes or Netflix or other things that go exactly with, because sitting here talking about the Renaissance means nothing to my child that's a visual thinker. She's like, whatever. But I pulled up this real cool video about Renaissance and they're singing and William Shakespeare has a cool t-shirt on. Well, you know what? My kids remember that. And they actually asked to watch that silly video to this day because they're like, remember the Renaissance, the birth of blah, blah, but they can tell me what it said, all because I made it visually helpful for them. So when you see your kids start catching on to what you're doing, enjoying what you're doing, you know you're kind of tapping into where they are learning. And audiobooks, I'm a big proponent of audiobooks, especially for kids with dyslexia. Give them a copy of whatever you're doing on an audiobook so they're following along, so they're still getting, you know, they're still getting that visual input of the words, but they're getting to hear it, and they're getting to hear it from someone who is a fluent reader. You know, how do we learn to become fluent readers? As we listen to other people who are fluent readers. My kids don't want to listen to my voice all the time, so it's kind of nice to step back and have somebody else read it to them. They can be more a little bit dramatic, where my 12-year-old goes, "Mom, really?" But somebody else can read the same thing, the same dramatic, and he's fine. So gives that dramatic flair without you, you know, you having to do that. One of the science curriculums that's really good, and they're not here this year, is Apologia. All their science tech books have great audios, and we've used those. Story of the World has audio. There's a lot of books out there that they do a really good job of doing those for for you. And I'm going to give you a list of resources for that in just 1 second. So here are some examples of some accommodations that you could do in your home. One of the things that I find is, especially with math, making it more concrete. Math is so abstract. You're saying, here's your algebra problem, go solve it for X. And the kids are like, is that a letter? Is that a number? Where is this coming from? So one of the things I did like that from my public school days is we did something called hands-on equations. You still buy this today. I've already purchased it. It's in my house waiting for my son to do algebra. It's this cool thing where it takes like a balance beam and it walks you through. There's all kinds of videos. It's not very expensive. And there's the website down there, Borenson. I don't know why it cut it off. I'm sorry a little bit. It's Boreson.com. So you learn how to go through and take whatever is over here and over here, and it goes all the way down to you figuring out what X is. So they do a balancing act. And I never understood that that's what algebra was. It's a balancing act where you find out whatever you do on this side, you have to do on that side. So for me, after having algebra, I'm like, why didn't anybody ever teach me this? I had dyscalculia. I didn't find out until I was a senior in college, and I finally got myself tested. I couldn't believe, like, how can I do well in school and feel so dumb when it came to math? So once I learned that, that's helped me, and I think I've learned math better teaching my kids at home. Like, for the first year this year, I understand fractions because I'm in the journey of fractions with my son. So that's the other cool thing is there's some things that we were never taught, and you're going to get to learn them again. And if you can teach them to your kid, then you learn them again, and you'll have a better understanding. At least I do. That works for me. We did history this year. We did Rome to the Reformation. So we were supposed to read this big, huge book about Caesar Augustus. Okay, so here's another thing I want to give you. You can buy all those all-in-ones, and they're going to tell you every book to buy, everything to do. Guess what? Change it if it doesn't fit. Have that flexibility within yourself. It's only a guide. And I'm going to tell you, my public school teacher had to be put into a box because for the longest time I wouldn't change. I'm like, this is what it says I have to do. And what if I miss something? And then now I'm like, you know what? If I don't want to read that book, I bet $10 my kids are going to be like bored to tears in about 2 minutes. So this year I was like, okay, we're going to do a lap book. And my kids enjoyed that way better. And they learned more. And then you have something that you can always go back and say, hey, you remember some things about Rome? And they can pull that out. And they're going to remember more than me reading this big, huge Caesar Augustus book that, you know, that they were like, oh, it's that time again. I don't want life in school to be drudgery. You want it to be meaningful and exciting. Now, you can't make everything exciting, but if you can make it meaningful, they will tap onto that better. So there's all kinds of places you can get lap books. There's a lot of them that are free. One thing that we're going to try this year, and I didn't put it in here because we haven't tried it till we will try it this coming year, is notebooking. Notebooking is becoming a thing as well. But it has them take ownership of what they're learning. The great thing about notebooking is your child that needs to draw, you can draw. The child that you know that needs to write, they can write. The child that maybe just needs to trace, you write out what they need to trace. And I'm going to give you some pages, too, where you can make your own tracing pages. And you don't have, like, you just type them in, print them out, and slap them on there. And it's nice. Because when you do teach special needs children, you do have to take more time. You can't just wake up in the morning, walk into your classroom or wherever you do school and go, okay, let's open the book. You have to do more prep work. So let's see, we're on the next one. So I told you at the beginning I was going to give you, so here are some resources for audiobooks. Learning Ally is a great one. It's free. You just have to have a diagnosis. You can go to your doctor. You can use a therapist. If you're a certified teacher, you can do the paperwork yourself. I called them one morning and say, what do I need to do? They're like, you're a certified teacher. Yes, ma'am. Your daughter has diagnosis. Yes, ma'am. All right. She's been approved. It was crazy fast. They're really great. Overdrive, you know, your local library might have, there's some different ones besides Overdrive, but you get to check them out free and you just put them on an app. And so if your child, you know, is reading The Lion with the Witch and the Wardrobe and you need to have that on audio for them to follow along, it's there. Audible, yeah, you have to buy those, but sometimes that's one place that you can only buy certain ones. And the good thing about those is they don't ever expire, so you can use them over and over. And they have a lot of, sometimes they have sales. And then I just found this new one. It's called allyoucanbooks.com, and you can also use that to pull up some auditory books for your kids. So the great accommodation. We also use BibleGateway.com. I don't know if y'all know about that, but you can sit there and pull up the Bible lesson that you're learning, and they have a dramatic form, so you have the different characters speaking in different voices, and my kids really enjoyed that. So if you have it on your phone, you just have to go under, I think it's under audio, there's a speaker up there, and you can pull it down, and it'll, and it does all the different translations and has some that are dramatized, you know, so you hear Jesus talking to his disciples, and so I like that too. Okay. So did everybody get those down? I wanted to make sure. Sometimes people take pictures or, this year we did Pilgrim's Progress was part of our, and there is a great YouTube out there for that one, and it kind of follows the book, and then we got to go see the movie this year, so that was good. So that's another thing I try to do is if they read a book, and I, you know, you research the movie and it's good, but it's also a good way to say, hey, you know, look how when they take a book and they change it up when they make it a movie, and it's also, that's another learning experience that, you know, The Lion, the Witch, or Witch in the Wardrobe, they didn't do everything the same. And so then you've got a learning opportunity there as well. So I'm going to spend a little bit more time on modifications now. Just want to make sure I gave you everything on there. And, you know, audiobooks are just a great way to hear. And sometimes listen to them before you get them, because sometimes the people that do read it are a little monotone, so you want to make sure that it's something that you know are going to capture your attention and your child's attention. So sometimes we think of modifications as a crutch. Well, my child is not really learning what everybody else is learning. They're learning it. So what are they going to get out of this? Is this going to make them not on level? And I want to encourage you to, if that's where your child is, that's where you start. And you can switch back and forth from a modification to accommodations as your child needs it. Maybe no longer they don't need to trace anymore because you've traced with them so much, they've gotten to that point where they've become independent. And then you switch back. And then you can, you know, maybe then it only becomes an accommodation. So it builds confidence, it builds skills. And that's what you want to do. You want to meet them where they are, get them feel confident, get them feeling that they're doing a great job, and then you can change it and move them along. So there are some special education curriculums out there. There's Little Giant Steps, it's neurodevelopmental. There's Equipping Minds, which is cognitive. There's Memoria Press also has a special needs classical. But there's also like programs where math, you see, you can adapt that. All About Reading, you can adapt that. Because they're already a little bit more hands-on. They have manipulatives already. They have games. They have things that are going to help your learner. Because I really do think a lot of the time it's the presentation that we make. I feel like if I'm not, if my daughter's not learning, it's not her. I need to make a change because she's fully able to learn. I just have to figure out exactly what it is and how she needs to learn it. So you're going to reduce the amount. So if you're doing the planets, maybe you only do the first four planets. Maybe you only do one planet, whatever your child needs. So you don't want to frustrate your child to the point where they're just going to shut down. So modify and reduce it to the point where they are. My daughter does Greek and she does Latin with us. And I'll show you in a few minutes how I take that to her level so that she's included in everything that we do. When we did our test for our planets this year, I wrote out all the planets, and I just left off the first letter, and she had to go and match it. Well, my other kids had to know what was the inner core, outer core, where the asteroid belt was. But she was like, Mom, I did it. I made 100 on my test. She was so proud of herself. And, you know, the cool thing is we don't even have to tell our kids that they're behind, and I think that helps them so much. My daughter, who is dyslexic, didn't know that she was behind in reading because I never said, hey, you're behind. You're not following some kind of timeline. So everything I was doing with her, all of her modifications or accommodations, she was just like, wow, I'm really smart. I'm like, yes, you are. So when you build that confidence, then they're able to do harder things because they don't feel self-defeated already. You can do the tracing or copying information. I'll show you some websites about that. Using a calculator is not, you know, if that's how your child needs to do to learn a certain thing, don't, you know, you can always wean them off of it, but start where they are and then work from there. Word banks, giving them a word bank instead of them expecting them to just find a whole huge amount of things. It helps them to feel like, okay, I know all this information in this box. I just need to figure out where it goes. Reduce answers on a test. Maybe you only give them one or two choices. Or maybe you give them three choices, and one can be so far-fetched. Like when we did our science test, I knew my kids were tired. It was the last week of school, so I put on there, like, one of the questions was something about one of the planets, and I put Thanos, and they, you know, they chuckled, and it helped them get through the rest of the test. So, you know, you don't have to be silly answers, but sometimes that kind of helps them be like, yeah, Mom, yeah, right. You know, but it kind of breaks the ice a little bit during a test. If you're reading something, you could highlight the things exactly that you need them to learn. That's great note-taking skills for later in life. You know, when they go to college, how can they take a passage and pull out the most important things? And you're teaching them that by highlighting and helping them out with the boldface words and how to do that. That's where I think that notebooking, and I'm going to see how that works this year. That's new to me. And that's the whole thing, is that we're all finding new things and we change. And I don't homeschool now the same that I did 6 years ago. Provide the notes. Give your kids the notes that they can follow along with you instead of taking the notes if they're not able to take the notes. Maybe have them highlight it as you're reading it. So just change it up to where they are. I'll show you right here. This is what we do. Okay. So we did Latin this year. We did Greek last year. We don't, like, fully go into all that, but what we do is we try to study a language that fits a time period. So the year before we did Greek because we were doing creation to the Greeks, and this year we did Rome to the Reformation. So we took, like, the word bonus, and you can see my daughter, this is my dyslexic on the side. She's very artistic. She wants to spend more time on the picture than anything under. So a lot of times I'm like, write your word and your vocabulary and your sentence first, and then go back and finish your picture. Sometimes she has to take time to finish her picture. So for my daughter who has dyslexia, I just have her write the word in a meaning, and then she would use it in a sentence. And she could remember, you know, because she did her picture. Now, this is my other daughter. So this right here, and I'll show you this website, This is actually a traceable. It's hard to see over here. So I already wrote the word traceable. I put bonus on there. And all she would have to do is go and trace it. So she's learning letter formation while we're doing this. Now, I would write the meaning next to it. But up here, bonus means good. So to her, a smiley face, and she said this is her being with mom, and butterflies, that's good to her. So she took the meaning of what bonus was to her and did that on there. So that met her need. She still completed the same work as everybody else does. She doesn't know that she's not doing what everybody else, because she's doing what she knows is for her. So that's just a way you can do this with foreign language, history, science, however you need to adapt it. I just made this box and put lines on there. There's a lot of templates that you can go out there on the website and just any website, and they'll give you like free, you know, whatever. And I just pulled that up and made that for a book. And I bound it for them. I'm a little OCD. I like everything to be nice and, you know. But so that's how one of the things that I do for different things in my, and that, so that shows you an example of that. I want to show you, this is my daughter who has the label of ID. So this is, we use Matthew C, which I think is very adaptable as well. I haven't used other math curriculums. A lot of people like Singapore or different things. I think you can adapt anything as long and modify anything as long as you can come back and use some manipulatives. My daughter needed it to be concrete. So Matthew C is good for her because, like, we took the blocks and one was always green. Two was always yellow. Three was always pink. Four is always orange. I think I got two and four. But we did one green frog, two yellow ducks, three pink pigs. And so she would make cards and we would just match them one to one. So sometimes you have to start out really easy, really slow, very concrete, very one to one, and you're thinking, I'm never going to get anywhere with this child. But it will happen. So we went from that. And see, I bought these little stamps because she couldn't write her numbers. But I didn't want to know her numbers. I wasn't worried about her writing her numbers. I wanted to know if she knew how to do the problem. So that's the other thing. Figure out what you're really wanting to test or know if they know. So then I came back and I added a little bit of touch math. Touch math is where everything has a point and it's very concrete as well. So here I'm adding Matthew C with touch math, and we just use stickers. So when she's adding, she could add up the ones. And then I'm still not asking her to write her numbers on her own yet because she's still not there. This is this year. This is 100% on her own. And I showed her the slideshow. She's like, Mom, I am so smart. Look what I can do now. And so, you know, save that, because, you know, sometimes we do this every day and we go, ugh, when we don't see how much the progression has come. We don't get to see where they are when they start and where they finish. I mean, she's writing these numbers. She's getting them in number order. That is her handwriting. So we went from humongous to doing it on our own. But if I hadn't done those steps back there and broke everything down, we wouldn't have gotten here. So when you meet your child where they are and break it down to however they need it, you're giving them success. You're giving them stepping tools to get to this point. When my daughter first started, we did everything on a light table. Table scatters on a light table. She was drawn to light. She was drawn to sensory buckets. And that's what we did for the longest time. So if you would have told me that she was going to do this, I would have told you you were crazy. I was like, we're not even going to get out of playing with tools, you know, playing with things. And now looking back, I'm like, why did I ever doubt? Like, why? That's where she was, and that was okay. And there was nothing wrong with that, because that's why we homeschool. We homeschool to meet our child where they are, to help them to be successful in life. And now she's doing this. She's writing her first and last name. She's getting ready to read. So all those things that I want her to do, she's able to do now. So I just wanted to share that with you. And, you know, from there to there is a year and a half. So, yeah, it took time. It took a lot of, like, repetitive, but that's okay. Because our goal is for not how fast they're going to get there. We just want to see them progress and do better. And like Matthew C. alone wasn't working, so I figured out I needed to combine things. So sometimes you're going to take your curriculum you have and you're going to find something that you can mix two things together that will make the difference for your child. You know, the best bosses in the world or the best employers, that you know, they take their employees and they show them how to do things. They don't just say, hey, I need you to go do this, go do it. You know, so when we're doing things like this and we're breaking them down and we're making them visual and we're giving them that time to grow, we're being great, because we really are the bosses, the teachers. So we're teaching them that we're going to be there with them. We're going to example. We're going to show them what exactly they need to do. And who better than people that love them? I feel like that. There's no better person to come alongside them than you. I'm going to go over some resources on the next one. So I'll leave this up here if y'all want to take some pictures or write down. Teachers Pay Teachers has a lot of stuff for free. If you want to know how to do some speech things, some math, whatever you want to do, they have a lot of like studies on books. Like maybe your child wants to read The Cul-de-Sac Kids. My daughter loves those. You can go on there, and they're very cheap. They're like a dollar. You can go on there, and they've already made up a whole answer questions, documents, and everything for that book. So guess what? You don't have to do it yourself. I'm all about saving time, because, you know, you have multiple kids, most of us, and so you got to come up with different ways and faster ways to get everything. Worksheetswork.com, that is the one that you can go on there and you can make your tracing sheets. And they have different pages, so you'll just have to scroll until you find your tracing worksheets. So that's a major help, I think. If your child is in tracing, you don't want to be sitting there all day. You can make them names to trace, the words to trace, whatever you're wanting them to do. The Super Teachers Worksheets, that is one where they have things already in their database. And they also have, like, chapter book stuff on there as well. I think it's $19 a year. It's worth it to me, because I can go in there and make my own worksheets. I can make my own multiple choice tests, my own essay tests, fill in the blank, all of that. And I don't have to, like, go into Word and try to make it look... It looks nice, and they can print you out an answer key when you're done. So that's a great resource. And they have science stuff on there. They have a bunch of stuff on there. So that's just another website. Pinterest, I know a lot of people stay away from Pinterest because they feel like once they get on it, they're like 5 hours past. I'm like, oh, what was I even on here for? But Sped Homeschool, also we have a Pinterest page that has things broken down. That is where... Some of the things are broken down, like we suggested for the curriculum. They are suggested on there, like these are some things that you can do for your child that has ADD or dyslexia, dysgraphia, and all that. And then I love other homeschool bloggers, because they do a lot of hands-on stuff like I want to do. And so if I go and I look and see how they did it, maybe my child's 10, but I need something at a sixth grade level, and I go find someone that has kids about that age, and I go find the hands-on stuff that we can do, because my kids love hands-on. So, and that's another way that you can find And I love it because homeschool bloggers a lot of times put like free downloads because we are all in this together. We all don't have a lot of money. So I'm all about the free too. TouchMath is one of the ones that I touched on if your child needs a very concrete. And all of these companies, you can call them. They're an amazing resource. You can sit and, I mean, I've been on the phone with All About Reading and TouchMath like for an hour saying, okay, so this is what my child's doing. What can I do? And it's amazing like how much time they'll sit there and take with you. Dollar Tree. I go through the educational section and I take things from there and I, like, they had these little stickers. I was going to bring them, I forgot them. But they were like raised stickers. And so when my daughter was doing touch math, I would put the raised sticker on the one and she would push it down and it would pop up and down. So it became interactive. It became sensory for her, which she needed at that point. So one, she got to push up and down one. She liked that doing that. There are special needs pages a lot of times on Facebook for, like, My Father's World has one. So if you're using a specific curriculum, a lot of the curriculums have Facebook support groups for special needs. And then you can also join our website, our Facebook group, and you can put in there, I'm having a hard time with, and you'll be like, because there's all these parents who've been through the same thing you have, and maybe they've created something. A lot of the times, too, when you go to Facebook pages, they have files in there. They've already created stuff for you. So just go and take those things and adapt those things. A lot of times it's adapted and modified because what was in the curriculum didn't work for that parent, so they needed to create something. So they've already created it for you. Like I said, call and talk to your curriculum. You can call them and say, hey, I need some specific help with this, what do you suggest? And I've just been amazed, like, how, you know, of course they want you to use their curriculum, and I know that, but at least they're taking the time to sit down and help you, because we all need help, you know, because we want to make sure that all of our children are successful. So this is our support group. This is our website. And I'm the teaching manager at Sped Homeschool. I like doing, it's hard to stand up here and say, do all the curriculums because you're using one. But if you want to email me and you have a specific question about a specific thing that you're using and how can I make this different, how can I change this to meet my child's need, feel free to email me at teaching@spedhomeschool.com, and if I don't know the answer, I will find someone that does. Some of the older curriculums, I'm not there yet, but we have a lot of seasoned mom that have been there, have done that. A lot of the other parents have gone to different places and, like, gone to Kumon and Mathnasium, and they worked for their kids. We just don't. I'd rather do it myself because I know exactly what I'm doing. But there's a lot of other resources that maybe you just need to step back and say, I'm just not really equipped to do this right now. I need to focus on this. You know, in one time of your child's career, you may need to focus on this specific thing. Like, I'm giving science to our co-op, which is very hard for me to give anything away. But I need to focus on writing this year. So pick and choose. Sometimes you're going to do things where you're going to focus more on one thing, and then you're going to ease up a little bit, and that's fine too. I mean, that's our flexibility. That's our octopus coming out. So do y'all, we have a few more minutes if y'all have any more questions. We're going to be in booth 910 today. And so if you've got something that you want to come by and specifically ask about, we're there all day today and tomorrow. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. You mentioned a couple of resources. You said Little Giant Steps, which I've heard of them, but there was one right after that.
Equipping Minds. And that one is a lot of fun. It is using games. And Equipping Minds, she's Dr. Carol Brown, she's out of Kentucky. She's amazing because she put all the games and all the steps online for free. All you have to do. Thank you for bringing that up because I meant to say that. Thank you. Just go out there, and it's like she uses skip. She's set, blink, I spot it cards. But she takes that one game, and she may make it 20 steps. And you'll be amazed. I was like looking at the steps going, my daughter's not going to be able to do that. So, like, really you need a dry erase board and very simple things. Like, she would have my daughter go red around one, and she does the same thing where she sticks with that same color. And, like, we did one and two. I don't know off my head my colors, but, you know, I'll just say red and blue. Then I would take that sheet out of the sheet protector, and my daughter go, that's a one, that's a two, that's a one, that's a two. So she's helping her with her working memory know exactly what she did without even seeing the information. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. I was like, are you kidding me? And, and how cheap are those games that you can go buy them? Just on the internet. Like Set, I don't know if you know Set or Blink, but you're doing. And what I like about hers is it's like really cognitive, like, and you're also using verbal, like one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, you know, star-on-star. So you're getting them to use those. So that's really good for kids who have like a working memory issue, who need visual perceptive. So that's, I'm not like support, you know, but I use it in my classroom. So I don't mind saying it's really has helped. I've seen a difference with my daughter. Anything else that I may have talked about? Like physical writing or handwriting or
whatever.
Handwriting, I have loved handwriting without tears because it's a very step-by-step process. And sometimes the kids get past that and then they don't want to do that anymore. I've actually figured out that tracing has helped my daughter's handwriting more than anything else. And so I'll have her trace something meaningful that we're learning about. So I'm killing two birds with one stone. And so then we're tracing and we're talking about. And she's learned more of her letter formations now that she's older from that. Like physical writing, we're doing one that's actually an old one. And they don't really sell it anywhere but on the eBay. It's called Jump In by Apologia. And it goes, like, what's your favorite, blah, 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 and it has them, like, just circle in boxes. Great, you have an opinion. Now write about your opinion, you know. And then it takes each step of the writing process and breaks it down. It's called Jumped In by Apology. I don't know why they're not making it anymore because I'm like, the workbook's got color to it, and I tried Write Shop. It was too many steps for my kids. But we do, for my other two, not for my my dyslexic and my other son, we do IEW when we're doing, like, diagramming sentences. And it's so funny. My there was a picture of this diagram on Facebook, and it was, like, down here. And there was, like, so much going on. And my daughter goes, I just love diagramming. And I'm like, what? But to her, she says it's a puzzle. So sometimes we think that something's not going to work for our kids and it's too high level and they're going to hate it. Who would have thought she would have loved diagram sentences? She's like, oh, yeah, we get to diagram. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, because I didn't like to do that when I just wanted to write and be done with it. So, you know, try different things, too, because some things you think, oh, my kid's not going to like that. And listen to them, especially like if you hear them during writing time go, oh, or that's when behaviors start, you know probably what you're doing is not working. Yes, ma'am.
You did mention dyscalculia. My daughter has dyslexia. She's 8. You can't even pronounce cat.
Mm-hmm.
You can't decode that word.
Yeah, Kalia is the one that's killing me. We don't know what's the number after four, or one more after four. We do a lot of manipulatives. We've been intensively working, been working on math for about 2 years, and we still cannot even go beyond 10. Number 20, 23, like that's, it's so severe to the point that, you know, it's quite frustrating, obviously, to me more than what, and it's gotten to her as well. Mm-hmm. But what have you used? At this point, it's, you know?
I did a lot of puzzles. I did a lot of puzzles. I did a lot of Play-Doh. I did a lot of, like...
What do you mean by Play-Doh?
So you could take Play-Doh and, like, make a mat for one and have her roll one thing. Make it very concrete. Make it fun. Because I found with my daughter, the more things that I did, one of the things I would do with her, too, was during a really hard lessons, like we were working on something in speech that was really hard for her. We would do the first little exercise, and then she had a game or a puzzle over here she was working on. And I would let her take a break over here and do this. Break down your things that are hard for them. We also, with Little Giant Steps, we listened to someone counting to 10. So she was getting it auditorially. You could do that yourself. You could tape it and then let her listen to it over and over again. Repetitive is key, I feel like, but playing those games on Equipping Minds where you take a deck of cards, right? Line them up 1 through 9, put them in order for her, do 1-on-1, 2-on-2, take turns with her. And so you're making it a fun game. I think that has been the key for my daughter, because now we're up to 20. She's 10. So does she know the correspondence from this is 1 to the number 1? Because you got to make sure she has that down first. If she doesn't know what 1, if she just knows what number 1 is, but she doesn't know that this is 1 means 1 cookie, you have to get down that first. So if she doesn't have that part, back up and just do that 1-to-1 correspondence. Start with 1 to 5. Make sure she has that down. And then start adding a little bit at a time. You think that might help?
Probably, yeah. Just like she could probably say the numbers, right? But when it comes to recognizing that this number is a number 13, it's not 31 or
yes,
it's 20 and it's not 20 or 27. Okay, it's 20, a 2 and a 0, and then a 7. That makes it 207.
And that's what I would do. I didn't realize I had dyscalculia, but I would know when we would be in church. I grew up where the old-time hymns, and they'd say, open your book to 728, and I'd be on 782, and I'm like, what? We're not even singing the right song. What's everybody doing? I had no idea. I would write down phone numbers, and I think my parents would tell me that I was just not paying attention, and I would transpose numbers. I still do to this day. I have to watch myself. So that's part of her dyscalculia, is that she's not trying not to do it, but make it hands-on, have her make it, have her do it. The more you put her hands to work with her brain, crossing midline, have her do one over here, so you're crossing over her brain and you're getting her to, she's got to get it stored into that long term where she can pull it back up when she needs it. I didn't. I used Orton Gillingham. That worked for my daughter. I used Diane Kraft and some of the other ones because she makes everything into pictures, and that worked for my daughter. Yes, ma'am.
I just had a quick question. I was wondering, like, at a certain point, because you've got all these subjects you're responsible for, you know, grade school-wise and stuff, and maybe I'm still programmed at public school or something, but, like, at
Thank
some
you.
Point, can I just drop a subject? I just not ever worry about it again. Like, you know, like,
or do it maybe once a week.
Or something like that. Yeah, like
we have to give her herself permission to do that. So if you're doing history and your kid is really struggling and you need to do a lot, find some documentaries and just learn it that way. Give yourself permission to kind of step back and give yourself a little leeway. Because especially with the hard stuff, the core stuff that you know you have to get down, because they have to read, they have to write.
Focusing on reading and writing and all this, and I've started teaching her cursive. My son is a little bit dyslexic. It's just taking off in cursive. I really want to keep
Well, they all the research says that that is best because it's more fluid. And my daughter, who is dyslexia, loves it because she says it's beautiful. It's like pictures, Mom.
And he hated it first, but he's oppositional too, so I have to push through the notes to get to where he's enjoying it. But yeah, so like, okay, history is funny you pick that. That's the one we struggle with, and it's like, okay, how important is this anyway?
Or maybe read sort passages about it. Maybe act out things. Just find a way to kind of weave it in, but not solely focus on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm giving away science this year. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's taking me, I keep looking at going, can I do it? And I'm like, yes, you have to do this. Because writing is core, and I really need to focus on that. So sometimes just learning what your kids need is important too. Yes, ma'am. Cammy Arne, she's in our booth, and she has lots of kiddos, and she's already graduated her kid with special needs, so I always go to her when I need the older stuff. I'm more the younger. My husband teaches high school, and so I go to him sometimes because he gets the groups of special needs kids because of our daughter at home, and they know that he has a heart for it as well. Well, I loved being with you guys today, and I'm going to do another one tomorrow about how to make your learning hands-on, so if you want to join us then, and please come to the booth if you have any questions, and thank you all so much. Y'all have a good day. Enjoy the rest of your conference.
Thank you.